a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Thursday meeting of the Senate Education Committee. Welcome to everyone who is in attendance, and welcome to those who are listening online today. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senators Bradford?
Here.
Krause?
Here.
Rampelberg?
Here.
Rave?
Here.
Schleckaway?
Here.
Gray?
Here.
Johnson?
Here. We have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Moved by Rave, second by Krause. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Since these proceedings are carried over the internet, I'd ask if you're going to testify to please bring the mic up to a close level so that all of our guests listening on the internet can hear you clearly. Also, if you're going to testify, there's a roster at the back on the podium. Please sign that. And if you have a cell phone, pager, or other electronic device, please either put it on mute, vibrate, or off. Pages today, would you please stand and introduce yourself and tell us who your mother is?
I'm Theory. I'm from Baltic. My mom's Lisa.
Nice. Thanks.
My dad's sitting right next to me. I'll be nice today.
All right. Thank you. Madeline?
My name is Madeline Schuler. I'm here.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. At this time, we'll now open the public hearing on House Bill 1128, an act to require the Board of Education to conduct public hearings before adopting certain standards. Senator Krause, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Does it seem to be on?
Yes.
House Bill 1128 requires the Board of Education to conduct public hearings before adopting any more Common Core standards. This bill is a compromise with the Department of Education because their amendment made the time period 1 year that for the Common Core standards to be reviewed rather than two as the original bill. This bill takes no position on the value or worth of the Common Core standards, nor does it affect the math and English Common Core standards that have already been adopted. This bill simply requires that before any other Common Core standards are adopted, at least four public hearings be held in a variety of geographic areas of the state. Common Core standards are a significant change for the state of South Dakota. They should be thoroughly vetted before any further standards are adopted by the State Board of Education. And as I said before, this bill will not affect those that have already been adopted. And I will stand by for questions and other proponents. Thank you.
Any other proponents to House Bill 1128?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jim Boland, State Representative, District 16, all of Union County and essentially the southern portion of Lincoln County. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I want to bring to you today House Bill 1128, a bill that would require the State Board of Education to hold public hearings in a variety of geographic locations in our state before adopting any more of what are known as the Common Core Standards. The movement for Common Core Standards is the new rage in educational circles across the United States. A number of states have adopted the current standards, including our own, for mathematics and language arts / English. However, this acceptance is not universal. Texas, South Carolina, and other states are not committed to this pattern for its schools. This bill takes no position on the concept of Common Core standards, but instead puts a one-year process in place on the possible adoption of any new standards and requires public hearings across the state before any further could be adopted. The original bill required a two-year process, but in the spirit of compromise, I agreed to an amendment that reduced that time period to 1 year. Some may say there are no current plans for standards in other academic areas. That may be technically true, but it is unrealistic to assume that they will not be formulated in areas such as biology, history, chemistry, geography, and other fields of study in the coming days. What this bill will do is to give our citizens the opportunity to rigorously examine any proposal in these areas before any further standards in other academic areas could be adopted. I believe it is safe to say there was little public input or notice before the current standards in math and English slash language arts were adopted. I am sure that all the technical requirements of public notice were met, but when such a fundamental change is proposed, I would ask all parties involved to slow down and give serious study to all the ramifications of any new standards, which again are not going to be adopted in all states and which many view with skepticism. I believe this is a reasoned and sensible approach. I want to again thank you for your time and consideration. I'll stand by for questions that you might have.
Thank you, Representative Bullen. Any other proponents to House Bill 1128?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schaap, Department of Education. We also stand in support of this bill. I just wanted to give you a little history on how we currently go through our standards adoption process, and this is regardless of whether it would be Common Core standards or any other standards. Our standard process usually takes well over at least a year, if well over that. The Common Core standards have previously been adopted in both reading or language arts, I should say, and math. We believe took at least a year and a half, and we did significant reached out to our educational communities in a number of different ways. We had a number of public forums. Most of them were done electronically, and so we feel that it's more than appropriate if to alleviate any concerns about what we are doing in those processes. As the standards are adopted, we typically have experts within those content areas that get together. They review the standards quite thoroughly. Then the standards are put out for public comment via online as well as in a first reading with the Board of Education. We then go through the public hearing process, and then they are taken for a public hearing before the Board of Education, taking comments from the field, which is done publicly online, and is make sure that we are doing our due diligence and reviewing those. So we feel that it's more than appropriate if we should move forward. Again, we are not aware of any movements at this point in time for Common Core standards in any other areas, in addition to language arts and to math, but I don't want to be on the record to say that if that happens in 2 years, that we would not support that movement potentially if the standards were appropriate for the state of South Dakota. So again, we think that the due diligence this bill is asking for is more than appropriate, and we would stand in support.
Thank you. Any other proponents to House Bill 1128?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Linda Schauer, and I'm the State Director for Concerned Women for America. We just want to be on record as supporting 1128. Thank you.
Any other proponents to House Bill 1128? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1128? Any opponents? Going once, going twice, seeing none. At this time, I'll waive rebuttal and go to committee questions. Senator Rampelberg, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Secretary Schaap. I mean, we only have two things on the agenda this morning. We might as well talk about some of them, one of them at least. I was just curious to know, you know, that we hear a lot of the word Common Core standards are being bandied about. And quite frankly, because I'm not a teacher, I really don't know what that entails. And so I have kind of a two-part question. One would be, are these standards then developed with rigor and relevance, to coin the phrase, mm-hmm. to give the best possible education to the students? And how then are the textbooks that might be available to meet these standards chosen and researched? Do you kind of see where I'm going with that?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rampelberg, the Common Core standards, just to make it clear, I think there's always been concern that Common Core standards were a federal movement and were actually not federally. It was a number of states who got together. And a number of organizations that got together to vet both the standards that we currently have adopted. And really a lot of the purpose in doing that is that particularly I would think that we would say that within the areas of language arts and in math, there is consistency of what we would want students to know from state to state. And so, you know, simplicity if we look at math standards, we know that we want all students to know and understand fractions in the fourth grade. One of the movements with the Common Core standards, and I believe that what they've done is that it really took experts in the field, not just in the state of South Dakota, but looked at them for some consistency. So if we know that what we believe is important for students to know in one state is consistent to the other, knowing that we have a very mobile population, number one, to make sure that we are doing this in depth. And really, I think the value of what we've looked at with the new Common Core standards that we're looking at, we've narrowed the standards. And so instead of standards being this wide and about this deep, the standards really encourage higher order thinking skills, problem-based learning, not project-based learning, but problem-based learning, making sure that they actually are spiraled in that what a student learns in one grade is supported as they go through their educational experience. And so really the whole intent of the standards that we've looked at this point in time that have been, again, supported by experts across the states that have adopted these, really feel that having minds from other places really adds to that experience. Particularly for textbooks, as you know, that we do not, as a state, those are local control issues as far as what textbooks they adopt, and we've never had a statewide curriculum that we've supported. We do know that as we're looking at Common Core training, and you may have remember that within the governor's budget, we have a significant dollars that are put forward in the next few years to help train teachers in the implementation of Common Core standards, because they are, I would say, more rigorous for students. There's another alignment of how the standards will be implemented throughout the different grade levels. So we really felt it was important. We appreciate the governor's support and helping us to make sure that we're training our teachers in those standards as far as how we should be looking at higher order thinking skills, et cetera. But one of the things that we've never done is suggested a statewide textbook. But what schools are asking us for, that I believe that we will be spending time over the summer and are actually working to put an online portal together of suggested resources that school districts may want to use that would support the implementation of that. So I want to make sure that we are not mandating what sort of textbooks a school district, but instead giving them good resources, because it is a change for teachers in looking at these different skills. So textbook companies, of course, have seen this as a great opportunity, but I think that we need to get away from the idea that we're going to use a textbook and that there are so many online resources that are appropriate, but again, giving teachers, you know, that ability to look at what are great resources out there to support them.
Thanks, Dr. Schaap. Any other? Yes, please, Senator Rump.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you know, in talking to people who have been in education for quite some time, it sounds to me like choosing textbooks within a school system is probably more political than what we experience here in the legislature. Mm-hmm. In fact, it sounds like a real battle, and it sounds like it takes a lot of some time. I mean, I hear like 7 years to select a dadgum textbook. And I'm thinking, if that's the issue in the local schools, mm-hmm. and I just can't imagine people saying, oh my gosh, we're so glad we're going to get this now, you know, digitally. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some foot dragging there as well. So my question is, it doesn't seem to me like that's in the best interest of the students. And so I'm wondering if you could expand just a bit more on some of your thinking, because I think it begs for some leadership on a statewide mm-hmm. basis. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, and again, it's interesting, again, that you bring this up, because just yesterday, we are going to be spending time over this next summer. We're putting together really a plan that school districts will be able to see, as well as all of you. I believe it's really important that you understand how we're going to use that $8.4 million that have been proposed. And one of the significant portion of that is to get together content-specific and age-specific groups in those areas to explore both digital resources, textbook resources, and to take the leadership and give school districts an opportunity so you're not sitting in isolation. It is a huge – I remember sitting on textbook selection committees when I was teaching. And at that point in time, I don't think that we had the standards to guide that work. I have to be real candid with you. We didn't have standards, believe it or not, and it dates me a little bit. We didn't have standards many, many years ago. And so our textbooks were often chosen based on whether or not the teacher's manual laid flat and whether it had, you know, notes along the side and whether or not they had pictures. And I can tell you, sometimes I think we made the decisions based on the wrong things. Or we had a great salesman that came to the school district. Teachers are a lot wiser today in that I know there's the real concern about making sure we're aligned to the state standards, and that guides the work. So it is a real opportunity that, because I believe that as we're training teachers in the implementation of the Common Core standards, great opportunity to identify at the same time the resources that they may want to be using in their classroom. So we are taking that leadership, and that's part of the plan that we will be sharing with you.
Thank you, Secretary Schaap. Any other questions? Senator Bradford?
I know this was started when I was, working towards Common Core standards. And to me, the object of Common Core standards was if I was teaching a child in Shannon County in 7th or 8th grade, and he transferred to Rapid City, he would be involved in exactly the same standards in Rapid City, or if he transferred to Hay Springs, Nebraska. That the Common Core standard was to make all of us, in other words, on the same page. Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of work on Common Core standards. And all schools have been involved already. And my question is, I wonder about this. What is the object of this exposure, or is this because I see four towns that all of them are over 100 and some miles away from my school, and okay. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to Senator Bradford? I believe that two different things. The work that we've previously done, and this was any movement even before Common Core standards came in. So we've been using standards in our schools in all content areas. So Common Core is very specific to language arts and to math. And we have spent a lot of time in making sure that there's some alignment of the curriculum. But what I want to assure everybody, Common Core standard does not mean that every teacher is going to be teaching in the same way. And that's the beauty, and I think that's the wonderful thing about teaching, in that when you go behind your door, you can use those standards to guide the work, but how you deliver that that message is truly how the teacher feels best that meets the needs of her students, as well as the best way to deliver that instruction. So standards indicate that by the end of the year, seventh graders should know this, this, and this. But back to your question, what this bill, and I'm not speaking for the sponsors, so please correct me if I'm wrong, this bill requires that we do, prior to the adoption of the standards, that we do due diligence in making sure that the field and that the community understands what the content of the standards is prior to the implementation within the school districts. So this is the first step prior to the training. So I believe that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Krause or Representative Bradford, that want to make sure that there is an understanding that we don't adopt standards that the state is not in agreement with, either content-wise or the process that we did. And so I believe that there is a difference there. And we're in the phase of implementation with Common Core. This would be prior to implementation, correct, Senator?
If of any further, standards, this has nothing to do with the current, what we have now. No impact on that.
Thank you. Any other questions? One quick one.
Yes.
You're not going to get away that quick. I know you were a proponent. You testified in favor of this bill, Dr. Schaap. But what's different in our current mode of rulemaking and other decisions at the board? What's different than what you currently do now in this bill?
Mr. Chairman, honestly, not much in that. And that's why I felt strongly it's a good message for us to support this. The only thing different would be that this specifies where we need to have those public hearings. So we do, I cannot tell you how many webinars we had with the previous content standards across the state, pulled teachers in, and there was a number of things we did. The difference here is that it's very specific to where we need to hold those public hearings. And so we felt that if that would alleviate any concerns about the process that we go forward, if there are Common Core standards in the future, that we make sure that we follow the intent of what the legislature
wants. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll open for committee discussion and or action. Senator Schleckway.
I move due pass on House Bill 1128.
Second.
We have a due pass motion by Schleckway, second by Rave. Any discussion on that motion?
Real briefly, I think it's just a good approach to, in the event there, into the future, there are attempts to add to our Common Core with other content areas, it's good just to make sure that we have geographically, I like the four geographic regions laid out here, and I just think it's a good government, and I urge passage.
All right. Any other discussion? Senator Bradford.
I think it's great. I like the input. The only thing I don't know if, I look at my district, which is very, very big, and every single school in there is over 100 and some miles from. So when you talk about public input, I think about parents and maybe board members and stuff like this, and that's a long ways. I doubt if they're gonna feel their input is significant enough. I think it's great. I just don't know if it's gonna reach who it really wants. You need to reach. But.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll then take it to a vote. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye. House Bill 1128, by a majority vote of the members-elect, by a 7-0 margin, is declared passed. Any further action?
I move consent, House Bill 11.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion by Krause, second by Rampelberg for consent. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Move consent on 1128. All right, we'll now open the public hearing for House Bill 1195, an act to authorize the collection of fees for certain educational programming and services and to declare an emergency. Senator Brown. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm spending a lot more time in education this year than I would have ever.
And you're smarter for it, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Very simply, 1195 is probably a good example of be careful which question you ask. There are two main pieces here that I would like to discuss. For decades, it was common practice that school districts would offer certain programming. Let's say driver's education would be a good example. And because it was not part of the typical curriculum, there was often a fee that was associated with that particular activity to recoup some of the costs that might exist. I remember two decades ago when I was taking driver's ed myself, I had to save up money over the summer so that I could pay for that. So it's been a common practice for quite some time. The other area where some school districts have adopted programs, in particular with the pre-K or pre-kindergarten piece. There are some school districts in our state that offer this service, and they charge a fee to recoup some of those costs because it's not part of their typical programming. Last year, there was an opinion issued by the Attorney General that we currently do not have the appropriate statutes to allow school districts to do that. Effectively, that would stop the practice unless there was some legislative action or remedy to allow schools to do that. 1195 is the attempt to put that legislation in place that will allow school districts to charge appropriate fees for those types of activities. You will notice that We do have an emergency clause on this bill. Clearly, that's an effort to, you know, many of our driver's education programs, et cetera, will probably take place in May or June. And so rather than wait till July 1st, this bill would enact that right away. With that, it seems fairly straightforward. I'd be happy to stand by for any questions that there would be on 1195.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Any other proponents to House Bill 1195? Any proponents to House Bill 1195?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Wade Pogany, representing the Associated School Boards of South Dakota. And if you really want to help schools today, I hope you vote for 1195, and it won't cost you anything other than a vote to take on this bill. And I'm grateful to Senator Brown and Representative Sly for bringing this legislation, because as Mr. Brown said, for a long, long time, schools have been offering these services because they are outside of the K-12 service that the K-12 education that they provide. And they need to charge the fees just to recoup their costs. The AG's office, we had some conversations with them, and they said, we understand that the question was asked last summer is, can you charge for the fees? And the AG's office said no, because it isn't prescribed in statute. So all we're asking is that you allow us to keep doing what we've been doing. And it doesn't change what we've been doing. It allows for the schools to offer driver's ed and preschool if they have it. Let me talk a little bit about what this bill is not. This bill is not intended to compete with private industry for preschool services. In many cases, the preschools that are offered because the community has asked for it. And as I talk to schools around the state, it's interesting. They have preschools that are what we call blended programs, and the schools try to mix as many resources as they can to offer these for the community. And sometimes they put in Title I money, federal money, so that they can offer the service to disadvantaged students or students that are free and reduced lunch programs. Sometimes they put in special ed money so that they can offer pre-K services to special needs kids. And then other parents send their children to pre-K on a tuition basis. And combining those dollars helps them to blend the funds so that they can provide that. In talking to schools about this, unfortunately, without the legislative authority to do this, some of them won't be able to offer those services. And so my question is, should we as a legislative body take that privilege or that prerogative away from our parents who, you know, willingly pay those fees to send their children? We would ask you not to do that. We would ask you to let the communities have their preschools and driver's ed programs as they have been. This is not an attempt to have a state-run preschool system. There is no state money involved in this. It's not an attempt to expand preschools around the state. It's simply saying, if you're offering a preschool now, you can continue to do that. Programming in the first section is talking about that, instructional programming. And you can see in the amendment that was added on in the House, very clearly it says that these dollars cannot be used for extracurricular activities. This is not something that we want to see a pay-for-play kind of a situation. So that was clarified in there. And we do really need to ramp up our driver's ed programs this summer right away. So that's the reason that the emergency clause is there. We understand that will take a two-thirds vote, but we think that you'll be in favor of this. And so we simply ask you to codify what our schools do now and really help them out today to continue to offer those services for their communities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dr. Pogany. Any other proponents to House Bill 1195?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for the large school group, and we too would be in support of House Bill 1195. And I think Mr. Pogany outlined it very clearly as to why the emergency clause is there, so we have some planning time and we can implement not only driver's ed, but many schools look at summer school, offering a summer school program, and would like to be able to plan for that. And as you see, we've had debates in this body about the pay for play and extracurricular, and that's why we put that in there, to not have that as part of the issue of whether we charge fees or not. So you're, I think if with the passage of this bill, we would authorize local control, and we would also allow school districts to make the decision on the fees. So we would urge your support of House Bill 1195. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Any other proponents to House Bill 1195?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney from Pierre. I represent both Sioux Falls and Rapid City School Districts on House Bill 1195. Pretty much everything has been said, I think, relative to the bill. It's important to understand that school districts can only do that which you empower them to do. I think that school districts always believed they had the ability and the authority to do this. I recall when driver's ed started, Senator Brown, and there wasn't anybody to step up to the plate. I mean, frankly, that's what happened. Nobody else was going to do it. Nobody else was willing to do it. Schools were. They often fulfill needs of a community when nobody else is filling them. And so that's how we all started doing this, and how we began the process of doing driver's education. We're simply, by this bill, I think, making clear that school districts can do what they've been doing. They can only do what you authorize them to do. They have no independent authority under the Constitution. They exist because you created them, and they can only do what you allow them to do. So that's what this bill is trying to do. I think everybody, I suspect even the Attorney General, believed that schools could do this until he was asked the question and began doing legal research. So with that, we support 1195.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Any other proponents to House Bill 1195?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's Mitch Richter with the SDUSA Group. We support the bill without any amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1195? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dennis Champ, and I'm the Director of Education for Pierre Public Schools. However, today I am representing the school administrators of South Dakota. Mr. Peterson could not be here today, but asked me to share with you that SASD does support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other proponents to House Bill 1195?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Greg Boris. I'm the registered lobbyist for South Dakota Voices for Children. And our objective in life is that children grow up in South Dakota to be healthy, educated, and safe. And this bill speaks to children being educated and children being safe. I'm sort of troubled personally by Senator Brown reminding me of my age, because back when I started my professional career in South Dakota as a high school teacher, we offered driver's education as part of the curriculum for which students earn credit toward graduation. And things have changed, as you well know, over the years in that area. We see it as important that families that want their children to be in a program like driver's education be able to do so. About 3 weeks ago, the Safe Teen Driving Task Force heard from Dr. Rich Brownstein from USD, who studied driver's education and drew attention to the positive outcomes associated with driver's education. The challenge that some families face with driver's ed is the cost, sometimes over $200, and someone told me in Pierre it's over $300 for driver's education. And I would like to propose and have the committee consider an amendment to 1195, whereby a district that chooses to charge a fee pursuant to 1195 have a waiver of fee or a sliding fee scale for children living in low-income situations. That the criteria associated with that would be up to the district. They could set whatever standards they want in that area and choose to pursue it in that manner. So I believe Senator Bradford may have something in that area, but I appreciate you taking my testimony. I'll be available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there, before we move the amendment, are there any other proponents to House Bill 1195? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1195? Any opponents? Seeing none. Senator Bradford, would you like to move that amendment, please?
Yes, and I guess my point is you can I want the committee to look at it, but in no way do I want to jeopardize the bill. So if it's not, I will move it. And if I, you folks look at it, if I don't get a second, you understand me. I brought the amendment for those people who cannot afford to pay. But in that line, I say if they don't consider it friendly enough to be that it might jeopardize the bill, I would wait for a second.
All right, Senator Gray.
Well, I know, Mr. Chairman, we don't have a motion or an amendment pending. But if I could speak to the.
Please.
Senator Bradford, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but this is really creating new policy. And all we're really trying to do with 1195, I think, is fix something and go back to where we were. I think the amendment really is new ground that should probably be a new bill, because it is really a new policy for our school districts.
Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none. So are you going to go ahead and entertain, are you going to move this amendment?
I moved it, and if it don't get a second. Right.
Do I have a second on Amendment 1195, Charlie Gulf? All right.
Go back to questions on House Bill 1195.
Questions on House Bill 1195. Questions of the committee. We did. I asked for opponents. Seeing no questions, I'll entertain a motion and or action or discussion.
Senator Chair, Brave. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1195 by Rave, second by Schleckway. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I think, as the proponent stated, this is a common sense solution to something that we've been doing for years, excuse me, and should need to continue to do. And the only other thing I could say is I'm extremely concerned that Dick Teason remembered when they started driver's ed, because that had to be, I would guess, back in the 30s. We've had cars for quite some time. So with that, I would ask for your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford?
Aye.
Krause?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye. House Bill 1195, by a majority vote of the members-elect, by a 7-0 margin, is declared passed. Any other action? Senator Bradford?
Well, I just want to say I remember before driver's ed, when it was, they were teaching harnessing the horses.
All right. That concludes our calendar for the day. We will next meet again on Tuesday. What is next Tuesday? 27th?
21st.
Oh, the 21st.
Yep.
Are we going to be in this room, Mr. Chairman? That was a question.
Well,
I
next
had.
Tuesday we only have one bill, and that's House Bill. In discussing the timing for House Bill 1234, we're going to hear that next Thursday.
Oh, we are.
Yep, next Thursday.
Corey.
I am trying to arrange for another room.
That would be good.
Yeah,
we're trying to work with House local government to get 414. But so just stay abreast of the postings to accommodate, which is what I anticipate will be a larger crowd. But we will plan on hearing House Bill 1234 a week from today. Thank you for your prompt action. Any other questions, administratively or otherwise? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Schleckway, second by Rampelberg. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are dismissed.